Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show. So I went to a party last night. That was a while ago when you hear this. Yeah. Like, it was okay. It was like some work stuff, but I'm reminded of like why I don't like go to parties that often.
Why?
There were a lot of people there that I didn't know, which, you know, I'm okay with that. But there was this one particular, particularly obnoxious woman who, she was like going around saying like, we should all sing something. She was incredibly drunk. She was saying like, name a Beatles song that we can all like sing. I don't know. I was like, and they're just like, no, just something like from the beginning of music that like everybody will know. And so the beginning of music, like Bach. And she got all offended. And then the last straw was when we were talking, like at the end, she was like, she was standing right by me, and then she started rubbing my upper arm. And then when she walked away, she dragged her fingers across my chest. And it was just the worst thing ever.
Why do you think she did that?
I have no idea. I don't know if she was just like misguidedly thought that groping a stranger was acceptable or what, but it really, really threw my equilibrium off.
How old was she?
She appeared to be mid-30s. She was very drunk, very obnoxious, and what's the charitable way to put this? Sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really bugged me.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything because the only thing that I could say would be, don't touch me. And that would have drawn attention. And really, I just wanted to blend into the scenery.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it was a bad time?
It was not a good time. Hmm. That particular part, the rest of the party was fine. I'm bad at society.
Bad at most things.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
What do you have to say for yourself, Chris?
What do you mean?
I mean, just in general, like right now, you on the show, you, sorry, I'm going to move this over here. On the show, you tend to be quiet. Unless you are talking about some kind of bodily function or reading a story. I want to know what's going on with you.
I still don't feel well.
No?
Right now, I feel like my stomach is going to explode.
Oh. We can make this quick then if you want.
I feel like Cameron.
from Ferris Bueller?
No, from that sub that went to see the Titanic. Yeah, from Ferris Bueller. He's going to keep calling me. He's going to keep calling me.
Can you make that sound? The water drop sound like it does at the hockey game?
No.
Chris, I'm going to have to kindly ask you to refrain from punishing yourself on the air. Huh. Yeah. Did you know he was like 33 when they filmed that? Alan Ruck. Alan Ruck is his name. He's like 70 now.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's 59.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Alan what?
Alan Ruck. That's his name. You know.
So it is.
I have a theory about Ferris. He's
56 and he's from Cleveland.
Yep. I have this theory that like people watch Ferris Bueller and think, I'm just like Ferris. I'm a precocious go-getter who, you know, can always talk himself out of any situation. But really most of us are like Cameron, I think. And maybe that's me projecting because I identify with Cameron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Breakfast Club. We're all a little bit, you know, the princess, the jock, the nerd, the criminal, you know? The power of John Hughes.
I've never seen John Hughes.
You've never like seen him in person?
No.
No?
See, we've outlined many of the celebrities that I have met in person.
Yeah. He died like really recently too. He passed away like in 2010, I think.
I'm devastated. I thought he was living.
And do you want to know what the last movie he had a writing credit on was?
Wagons East.
No, Drillbit Taylor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's, I don't know what that is.
But. That was the movie that Owen Wilson was in around the time that he tried to kill himself.
Owen Wilson tried to kill himself?
Yeah. He
I'm devastated.
He cut himself up. I don't know.
Not Luke.
No, not Luke. Luke's got it together. Luke, he's I always preferred Luke. That's just me, though. I don't know. My name's Cole Ross. Your name?
Chris.
And this is?
Those Damn Ross Kids.
Episode number 104, and we're here to entertain your asses. Yeah, I'm sorry you're not feeling well, Chris.
I know, it's rough.
Yeah. I don't know.
Lots of issues.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, well.
Oh, man.
I had a Five Guys burger last night, and
why did you do that?
I get an obsession about something, and I think, man, it's been a long time since I've done X, Y, or Z. And so I went and I did that, and I immediately remembered why I don't do that very often, because I hated myself after I did it. So, yeah. I was suffering a small degree of gastrointestinal distress immediately after that.
Did you get fries too?
No. Hmm. You get fries at Five Guys. Like that's meant to, like, literally the fries at Five Guys are meant to serve five dudes. Like they don't have a human sized portion of fries there. So if you're going to go alone, as I really don't have any option of doing anything else.
You could have taken that girl from the party.
Ugh, man, fucking shit. This was before the party.
She'd have loved that place.
Jesus. Yeah, so I did that. So I empathize with you, although mine was self-inflicted, you know.
Mine was too. I had Mexican last night.
Ooh, yeah. The nachos?
Yeah.
Whenever I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'm on to your tip about, you know, ordering the nachos, because that's like the hardest thing for them to fuck up. Right.
Yeah. It's incredibly simple.
Yeah.
And it's cheap.
Yeah. It's probably the cheapest thing on the menu, but I forget that the nachos that they make at restaurants are not the portion of nachos that I would make for myself at home. You know, a small plate of nachos. Right.
Oh yeah.
And when you go to a restaurant, they give you like 2 pounds of ground beef on a platter, the size of like a pizza pan.
For like $1.50.
Yeah, it's crazy. So like from
what about those nachos I got at the Rock Bottom.
Yeah. Those were huge, and there was no meat on those.
No, well, no, there wasn't. There were black beans.
They were delicious too.
Sure, they were. They were very good.
Yeah. When I was traveling a little while ago, we were at the airport. And it was it was about 10 o'clock at night. It was right before a red eye, and we decided that it'd be an awesome idea to get Mexican, because that was the only decent looking restaurant in the terminal. And I was like, okay, I'll get the nachos. Not realizing that picture an Uno's personal pan pizza, mm-hmm. That depth of nachos.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was way too much. Mm. And. So me with my various neuroses and anxieties, getting loaded up with Mexican food prior to a 6-hour flight across the country, where I would be trapped in the middle seat, where I couldn't get up because everybody was going to be going to sleep to go use the restroom, or, you know, to avail myself of the restroom. It was again a bad decision.
It was a torrid affair.
Well, there was a torrent of something happening somewhere, and I couldn't release it. By that, I mean a torrent of poop out my butt.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I play the bodily function game.
Yeah, I know, right? So, do you have a story for me?
Yeah. I'm going to share with you some comments from the Japanese National Finance Minister.
Okay.
He was addressing the heavy state costs of medical care for the elderly when he said, if I were one of these elderly people, and bear in mind this guy is 72, he says, I would wake up feeling increasingly bad, knowing that the treatment was all being paid for by the government. The problem won't be solved unless you let them hurry up and die. He also referred to elderly people who can't feed themselves as tube people.
Okay.
He's since backtracked and said he was only expressing his personal opinion. Which is what everybody thought anyway. So.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah. Wait a minute. Don't
Cole said,
don't
assume I'm speaking my mind.
Don't get upset. I literally am just telling you what I believe. And how that colors my opinions on the things that happen around me.
And see, I know I'm in a position to do something about it, but these are just my opinions. Right. Don't get all freaked out.
Tube people.
No. Oh, look at Tube Dad.
Have you met Tube Dad? we try to play catch, but he's bound to his bed by the tubes that he's in. So it's really just me throwing a super ball at him. At him.
Who plays catch with the super ball?
I don't know. It's
no one.
You throw it at him so it bounces back. Tube Dad. Yeah, that's crazy. What position in the government does he hold?
The finance minister.
Right, right. So he is in a position to dictate policy about whether or not people live. Yeah,
the bills get paid.
Right. Huh. That reminds me of a story that I have lined up here, so you might as well segue to it. Like people in positions that just you ask why. And I'm speaking specifically right now of Clarence Thomas. Justice on the Supreme Court. Did you know that he, up until recently, he hadn't spoken out loud during oral arguments in eight years?
Yeah.
Like, and he said in interviews that he just doesn't talk during oral arguments because he doesn't like them. He just doesn't ask questions of the people he's ruling. Well, the people he's ruling for or against. And he only spoke to make a lawyer joke at like to say, oh, this guy graduated from Yale and I'm a Harvard man.
Oh, there's the problem. He wasn't provided good counsel.
There was the question of how do you describe, constitutionally adequate counsel? And then just so he doesn't open his mouth for a decade, and then he opens it to make a stupid joke about which rich white guy school this person went to or not. the presidential election only matters because the president, can appoint Supreme Court justices.
Are you saying he's not taking it seriously?
I think he's not taking it seriously.
Or are you? Well, I think if he opened his mouth for the first time in 7 or 8 years and said, sorry, hiccups.
I think that I would be a little bit less upset.
Don't you think Scalia is a weird name? Sorry. I'll go back to sleep. He's kind of like the Stanley of the Supreme Court.
Stanley? Who's Stanley?
From The Office?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. I thought you meant Stan Lee of Marvel Comics.
No, no, I'm not in that world.
Okay, whatever. Whatever, whatever. Yeah, apparently his opening his mouth to talk was so remarkable that everybody in the court laughed so loud that the stenographer couldn't capture what he said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All that was captured of what he said was, well, he did not, and then just in parentheses, laughter. We might as well the whole lizard person conspiracy, like the reptilians, we might as well have that.
Why?
I just like for how inscrutable that is. Like, just I'm so
Why would
baffled.
You ask questions?
Because because you're
in his position. First off, people that go before him have probably worked for years, if not a decade, to get to that point.
Right. Right.
So yeah. they've had time. Well, number one, they've had practice because obviously they've argued their way there to come before them and say, hey, like, hi, this is what I've said all along. And now I'm going to say it to you. And this is everything I think that you should know. So why would you ask questions to that? These people have spent years upon years thinking of what they're going to say. You know what I mean? Like, what are you here for?
Something that bothers me in other people is a lack of curiosity. Right?
But their point is to not be curious. Their point is to not be creative. Their point is to strictly look at the Constitution, the laws that are in place, and say, according to this sterile idea, that it's yes or no.
Yeah, but you know, you can't always count on having all the information that you need based on that, right?
But the people, their entire purpose of going there is to state the information that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no prosecution. There's no defense. There's literally just, this is the situation, yes or no.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
It just bugs me that it's news that this person talked during a routine thing, a routine part of his job that is called, or you know, oral arguments. It just kind of seems like it's not doing his job. I don't know.
I guess I'm just saying that I probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know. So yeah. We have finance ministers who call ill people a drain on the public, and we have justices who don't talk.
Please just die.
Just like get out of my way, old man. I'm here now.
What was that?
What?
Oh, there's a story about how during the really, really cold weather we had up here in Ohio a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
There were no murders in New York City. Zero killings for 7 straight days.
That's crazy.
From the 16th of January to the 23rd of January.
Well, there were too many people dying of the flu.
The last lull they experienced was during Hurricane Superstorm Sandy. When asked if weather had anything to do with it, NYPD spokesperson Paul Brown shrugged and said, most homicides are outside, so maybe.
Most homicides.
Are they really?
Like in darkened alleys?
Yeah. I don't, it doesn't say, just I thought the quote was funny. Most homicides are outside, so maybe. We don't take any of this very seriously. Could be.
Who knows? Not me.
Records, what are those? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, just
Man,
don't
maybe
worry
it has
about
something
it.
The dew points make me feel all stabby.
I just can't keep it in me. And by keep it in me, this knife, and I mean in me, I mean out of you. I can't keep this knife out of you. Oh God, it's going back. Stop. Oh no. Yeah.
Put it in, pull it out, put it in, pull it out. Rawhide.
Oh man. Speaking of crime, I think I like this guy's game. I think it's a long con. So dude walks into a Papa John's. All right. In Montana's capital city, which is, I believe, not Boise, Montana, Helena. Yes. There we go. Walks in, he's wearing a hoodie and he says, you know, give me all the money in the register. And like, okay, don't do anything crazy. We don't have any heroes here, blah, blah, blah. And then as they're getting the money together, the guy breaks down crying and sobs. Okay? Just like, oh, God. And he's saying, oh, God, I'm doing this for my wife and kids. Please help. Oh, no. And so they say, all right, here's what's going to happen. We're not going to give you the money, but why don't we give you a pizza, some pop, and some wings for free for you to take back to your family? You know, don't make a stupid decision like this. And, you know, there you go. So the guy goes back, you know, just like whatever. And and the situation is diffused. So I want to ask you, based on this evidence, Chris, did this person really want the money out of the register, or was he just looking for a free pizza?
I think he would have taken either one.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like, you know, just like to say, you know, it's kind of like saying, hey, Chris, can I borrow $50,000? You say, no, you can't. And I say, well, okay, how about a 20? I'm like, okay, fine, that's better, right? Like juggling expectations like that, that seems to be a viable strategy. I just like the idea of this person being off his medications. But who knows? I don't. Do you?
What would you do?
Oh, like on Dateline?
I guess. I'm just saying, what would you do? Like, would you steal a loaf of bread to feed yourself, or would you steal money to buy bread?
I would walk by fields and take wheat off of the fields, because that is protected by the Bible. They say you can do that. You're supposed to let people glean.
And you will make homemade bread, yes, in your 55-gallon barrel oven.
Yes.
And you will sell that to earn money to pay the people for the wheat, to make more bread, to make money to eat.
Yes. You got to get started somehow.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And that's the Steve Jobs movie, pretty much in the whole.
the Ashton Kutcher one?
That's the vehicle, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ashton Ashton spliff.
Oh man, do you have a story for me?
People are angry that Oprah rubs foreskin on her face.
Is that the story?
Yeah. Oprah made an appearance in Vancouver, and not everyone was overjoyed about Oprah's Canadian visit. A guy named Glenn Callender, founder of the Canadian Foreskin Awareness Project.
Glenn, Marie's brother. Yes.
He was there, along with supporters, to protest Oprah's endorsement of Skin Medica, a line of beauty products made with foreskin fibroblast.
Okay.
Winfrey's called it a magic fountain of youth and miracle wrinkle cream.
Okay.
He would like, and we're speaking of Glenn, he says, I would like Oprah to come to her senses and realize that all children have a fundamental human right to keep all their genitalia and to decide for themselves if anything gets cut off.
So by the foreskin thing, that's like a huge issue. That's like prickly. Like if you express any kind of opinion about circumcision on the internet, people will chime in. So it's, you know, we here at TDRK Industries, we do not, we don't have an official stance on this. But that argument about like kids should be able to decide if they want to keep their foreskin or not, like the reason you do it to a baby, or like the reason why it works for a baby, is because they're not old enough to like know what's happening. They just went through possibly the most traumatic experience of their existence, you know, being shoved through a hole or ripped out of a gaping wound. And like, okay, what's one more indignity, you know, stacked on top of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by saying like, okay, you know, you're 5 years old. Hey, do you want me to mutilate your genitals? Like it seems like they are intentionally trying to weigh the answer, because if you ask somebody, hey, we're gonna cut off the end of your penis, they're gonna say no.
Maybe,
you know, different strokes, but yeah, that just it seems like an illogical way to go about the problem, and it seems like it is you know, it's leaning towards one answer to that potential question.
Full disclosure, Skin Medica's line is derived from a single foreskin that was originally acquired from a company which produces, quote, research use only products using neonatal foreskins discarded from circumcisions with full informed consent.
Okay, so they're not going around and just like harvesting people's foreskins.
No.
These are foreskins that were going to be off anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, without choice.
Well, yeah, you know, but still, there are no more. There, it's kind of like taking stem cells from umbilical cord blood. It doesn't hurt anybody. Right?
No, I guess not.
No, it doesn't. That's a thing. It can save lives. Man, I don't understand beauty products. I don't understand any of that. I know that I'm not the target demographic, but just the weird voodoo like rituals people will go to, you know, and harvesting placentas and things like that in order to, you know, kind of maintain the illusion of youth. When really they would probably just be better served by drinking a glass of water and eating a piece of fruit. Taking a brief walk. Instead, let's have Oprah tell us what piece of the body we're going to rub over us this week. It's really about like two steps away from like, you know, Chinese like tiger medicine, right?
After the break, I'll tell you what to do with all that leftover foreskin.
I don't know.
Google me.
Google me, bitch. Yeah. So
slut.
So there's evidence in the fossil record, you know, and in these, you know, kind of like old trees that have been recovered, you know, like plants that have been around since that time, suggest that sometime around the year 775 AD, the Earth was bathed in radiation from some kind of cosmic event. So there are high levels of carbon-14 and beryllium-10 in these rings of these trees, which indicate that the radiation could have come from a supernova or a solar flare. Okay?
Okay.
So the entire Earth was just irradiated when two compact stellar bodies collided and formed one of those, like one of those kind of things. You know, it wasn't recorded in history, you know, because like the Mayans were on the decline at that point, and the Moors had just invaded Spain. You know, there was more stuff happening. It wasn't recorded because it was invisible to the naked eye. It only lasted for a couple of minutes, or would have. The thing that's scary about this is that it could happen at any given time. And like now we have a bunch of really important shit in space, and it would affect that more than us.
Important for now.
Well, yeah, until it becomes space junk and falls back to the Earth.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not saying that there is no permanence. It was literally just like, if it's not there, we'll figure it out.
Yes, I suppose.
You know, I was okay before you, satellite, and I'll be okay after you. We're breaking up.
You're just a crutch.
Radiate this bitch.
Irradiate this. Then he
ka 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 wearing flip flops, mowing motherfuckers down.
Jesus. Yeah. So anyway. So yeah, you know, that could just happen. You know, just at any given time there could be a nuclear event out in space and we could all be dead. We're insignificant, really.
Three bottles of rare 19th century scotch. Found beneath the floorboards of Arctic explorer Ernest Shackleton's abandoned expedition base were returned to the polar continent. New Zealand Prime Minister John Key personally returned the scotch to the Heritage Trust officials at the ceremony at New Zealand's Antarctic base on Ross Island. They've been forgotten for 102 years. They were found beneath the floorboards. Bottled in 1898 after it was aged for 15 years. The crates of scotch were found with two cases of brandy.
Huh. So
the expedition took place in 1907.
So did somebody drink them, taste them? Are they being studied?
They took a sample from one of the scotch bottles. Actually, the scotch is Mackinlay.
Okay.
And it's owned by a different distiller now, but they drew a sample with a syringe through the cork one of the bottles because the original recipe has been long gone, but right. They've used that sample to make a limited edition of 50,000 bottles.
Huh. Neat. That
yeah.
That's
like finding Louis the 19th's blood in a gourd.
It was the style at the time to keep all your blood in a gourd.
Hey, got a good blood gourd? You got a good blood gourd, guy? Oh yeah, here you go.
Yeah, because I can recommend a dude.
I can recommend the best blood gourd guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, like why do you think dried gourds shake? when you shake them. It's because of all the teeth in there. You keep your blood in your teeth.
The blood people.
Yeah. Mm. Neat. No, that's like a dogfish head, like finding residue in pots and like using that to recreate the beer that King Midas would have drank, you know?
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. It's called Midas Gold or Midas Touch. It tastes like honey. It's not that great, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had it before.
I wonder if it was good at the time.
I'm sure, you know, I think that tastes evolve over time. I think that, you know, we just like different things as humans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like mead.
Yes, yes. Have you ever had mead?
Never.
I had an acquaintance. He was a fellow college radio person who brewed his own mead. And he gave me some bottles of it. I don't want to say it wasn't very good because he may have done a good job at it, but it had a lot of stuff at the bottom of it that didn't like that I couldn't leave in the bottle no matter how carefully I tried unsettling. To pour it. What's that?
It had stuff in the bottom of it that was unsettling.
It was unsettled. Yes. And it tasted like fermented honey, which I suppose is the goal. But that would like that was an affectation, you know, mead drinking or mead brewing that I never got into. Like yeah. I look at that the same way as people who drink a lot of cider.
Oh, you gotta try my cider. I made the best cider.
Well, you know, cider was the beer before we drank that instead of beer, but you know, because beer had to come over from Britain and we didn't want to do that. So that was the original American. Fuck you.
Hey, you want another fun fact? You were my friend until you said that.
Until you said those things. Some of the sickest I've ever gotten was from drinking on some cider.
I get the gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah, no, so it wasn't hard cider. It wasn't like brewed cider. It was a Stone Fence, which is a beverage made from regular cider that has whiskey in it. Okay, so
whiskey.
Right, right. So you know, I had two of those, and I shit you not, like I was incapacitated for 8 hours.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah. Like I broke my rule. I was sitting on the toilet, Googling whether or not I was poisoned as I was.
I was sitting on the toilet, eight balling whether I was going to die.
Yeah. I was like cider, searching cider, sick, poison, help. Because I thought that I had like salmonella or E. coli.
I was Shatner netting.
I was Shat netting.
I was Shat netting. Cider, poison, help. Cider, poison, help.
I heard this on another podcast. You know what it's called when you have diarrhea and you're vomiting at the same time?
No.
It's called the Screaming Eagle.
That's funny.
It is, right?
Ugh. Hey, that's you? Yeah. Funny.
The Screaming Eagle. Yeah.
How do you do that? Funny.
You drink too much cider, I guess. I don't know. So I've avoided cider ever since, except when I was in Portland, we went to a cider bar, and I don't think what I had technically constituted cider, so... It was like cranberry stuff.
Moving to Portland will not solve your problems.
No, it won't. I think John Roderick wrote a song about that.
Not moving to Portland.
Yes. It's a good song. It's a great video, too.
It's okay.
God damn it.
Too many tempos.
Where is this coming from? What?
What?
You said an accurate thing about a song.
I did.
Yeah, no, it's not the tempos, it's the time signatures. Holy crap, Chris, you're man.
I have YouTube.
You do have YouTube. Yeah. It goes from 5/4 to 7/4, like back and forth with a couple of 2/4s in the mix.
Yeah, there's a 6/8 there as well.
Yeah, it's incredibly syncopated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fun to play.
I don't know how he plays that and sings. I really don't.
God. What? What are you... Where are you? You're hurting me. It's good.
You want to keep playing?
Man, I just want to hear more. I want to, like, I've never heard this side of you.
Really?
I don't
know. Let me turn around.
Manzies. So, Can I tell you a story about local affairs, Chris?
Go for it.
Yeah. So this is the preface to this is, did you know that you can't buy toilet paper with food stamps?
Cannot.
Like if you are on government assistance, you cannot use the assistance they are giving you to buy toilet paper, which I would consider toilet paper to be like a necessity, right?
No, they'll just use their tax refund money.
No. So, with the way it's being devalued, right? All this inflation from those clowns in Congress.
This is not what the founders had in mind.
No. Bitcoin is the way of the future. No. And the Fed. But you just can't do it. So here in Westchester, Ohio, which is like, that's where our IKEA is. There was a, what's that?
That says a lot.
Yeah. Right. It's an affluent area. It's an affluent area with a lot of cheap furniture. Continue.
I don't know how I became that person.
Became what person?
I made a comment like, oh, I could get that at IKEA. And someone commented, not everything comes from IKEA land.
Yeah.
On the forums.
What forums?
The web forums.
Oh, okay. Huh.
SquatNet.
Right. I don't
Rustville.
Know. But there was a woman who, you know, she fell on some hard times and she was going to food stores and things like that. No, she's good now because she won the lottery.
Oh, she didn't hit her head.
No. she didn't. So everything is okay there. Instead of like so she won
Very
the lottery
lucky.
And she wanted to give back. And so she bought 5,000 rolls of Charmin toilet paper and gave them to a charity called Reach Out Lakota, which is a local thing. It's like Lakota High School up there, like a whole big truck full of full of toilet paper just rolling up, and
what dildren.
and P&G decided, hey, we'll match that donation, and gave a bunch more. So yeah. And for herself, she bought herself a new laptop computer, a recliner, which she found on sale, and a trip to visit some relatives in Seattle. Says the woman, I like who I am. So good on you, Miss Jackson. Who? I'm for real.
You don't like me? I like me.
I'd fuck me.
My name's Doug Griffith.
Who's Doug Griffith?
Or Del Griffin. One of the two.
Huh.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay, yeah.
My wife likes me. I watched that last night, kind of.
That's a good movie. I like
that.
I
half watched it.
Another John Hughes joint.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Written by John Hughes.
A fucking Datsun.
God. I just want to watch all John Hughes all the time.
You know what didn't make any sense about that is that they added that to Netflix after the holidays.
Well, no. They knew that if they pulled it off, they could get more revenue from people going and renting it elsewhere.
Where would you rent a movie these days?
I think that there are boxes in front of stores where you can do that.
I've done that once or twice.
How'd that work out? Because that seems like a scam. I don't.
A while ago.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
There's a game I've been looking to play, but I could probably rent it from that.
The entire concept of renting something is,
well, no, it's bug stupid. Nuts crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it now. I mean, I get a car rental, fucking Datsun. but I don't get, you know, I don't know why. Like the concept of going and renting a movie is bizarre, and it happened in my lifetime and in yours, and
yeah,
in our household growing up, it happened frequently.
Right,
but yeah, It's just batshit crazy.
I
don't watch movies really now.
No.
I mean, like, I saw Django in the theater, and I saw the Batman movie.
And to be fair, you saw the first 40 minutes of the Batman movie.
Well, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, I went to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't really go see movies, but like, let alone rent them.
But you have,
what's even more retarded? I just bought that 60-inch television.
Yeah,
I don't have cable and I don't watch movies.
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
Watch movies, but
yeah,
you know,
no, and it's the TV isn't just for you. Everybody in your house can enjoy that, so it's a thing.
Well, right? it's a status symbol,
right? It's something you buy just because you have it. It would make more sense for me to have a 60-inch television as opposed to my 32 because of how much time I spend playing games and whatnot.
I think you should use that as a monitor.
The 32-inch?
The 60.
I'm going to sit 12 inches away from a
as big as a desk.
I'm going to sit 12 inches away from a 60-inch monitor and be blinded by my artificial sun. No, yeah, but big TVs like that have really loud fans in them, though, and you can't really sit that close to them.
No, mine doesn't.
Mine has
no fan.
Huh.
It's LED.
Yeah, I get really bugged by fans and electronics.
Yeah, I'm listening to the fan on the laptop I'm using.
Yeah,
it
really upsets me. I get the idea of like renting something before you buy it, especially in terms of like video games. But like as a grown ass man who has, as somebody who has disposable income, you know, it's just kind of like, if I want something, I'll just buy it. So I don't have to worry about the chore. I think it's the errand of taking it back that really bugs me.
I think that we have so much that can take our time.
Yeah.
There's so many options for entertainment that when you do choose, you choose something that you are committing to.
Yeah. Like,
and so in that you're committing to it, you're investing in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, literally you're buying it. You're spending the time and the resources as far as internet to download or whatever it is, you know, you were saying, hey, I'm going to do this. Whereas like if somebody gives you something, even if you're not renting it and, you know, our stepdad is, you know, he does that. He gives you movies or he gives me movies and he's like, hey, did you watch that yet? And it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, cause it was one of those things where I like saw the trailer of the movie or whatever. Or somebody said it was all right, but I don't really want to watch it. Right. So even though it's free and it's right there.
Yeah. And it's not, and it's clear as a bell.
It's unwatched. Clear as a bell. Screener.
Yeah. It's
not one of those cams. It just says it's a screener.
I don't have this is the shocking thing to me because I'll think like, oh, I would love to sit down and watch Blade Runner because I haven't seen Blade Runner in a while.
I've never seen Blade Runner.
Or like, oh, yeah, you know, I would love to, I want to watch Chinatown. But like those are both
I've never seen Chinatown.
Those are both 3-hour long movies. You know,
see,
like
that doesn't matter to me though. If I am committed to watching it, like Django, haven't seen Django. I told you it was great.
Yeah, but I haven't gone to see it because
it's 3 hours long.
Fuck going to a theater. Yeah, you know.
But okay.
I have
a screener.
Okay, I know that you do. But if like for me, it's like a matter of like I just don't know if I have the attention span anymore.
No,
something happened, and I think it may have been the internet that just like destroyed my ability to sit down and pay attention to something for long periods of time. The closest that I get to that is when I read, but that's because that's such an all-encompassing, engrossing kind of experience that like it just kind of like okay, I can do, you know, I just get invested in that. But in terms of like sitting still and staring at a screen. And thinking, hey, this is neat. I'm looking at something on a screen. There's a bunch of other stuff I could do on a screen right now. And then I pick up the iPad while the movie's on. And then it just kind of like whisks away. I don't know. It's really, really hard for me to focus on that stuff.
I can't focus enough to read.
Even when I had Netflix, even when I had the disc component of Netflix.
No, I know. I got like 3 DVDs.
I got one DVD
in like 2 years.
I got a copy of Clue, okay? The Clue movie, which I like that movie a lot. It's a good movie.
Never saw it.
And I kept it.
Was that a John Leguizamo?
Yes, it was. I got a DVD copy of The Pest. And it sat by my desk for
it's David Spade being David Spade.
It sat on my desk for 7 months unopened until I was kind of like, huh, I better return that. And it's kind of like there it goes.
There it went.
Yeah, it's gone now. Bye. Hmm. Yeah, but Redbox rents games now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And
I wish I could get into video games too. I just can't.
Video games, it's easier because they're segmented in such a way that you can play for 40 minutes and then drop it and then go away and then come back to it. And if you want to invest more, you can. I can't tell you how many games I've beaten, 10 minutes at a time. But it's tough. It's tough. Like Blockbuster, they just closed like 300 stores.
Oh, it's not going to happen anymore.
No. It's like not a thing. Have you been in a Blockbuster recently?
Cole, I haven't been in a Blockbuster in 10 years.
Right.
I could tell you where I think a Blockbuster used to be.
It's still there. It's still there and it's still open.
Is it?
Yeah. We're talking about the one in
Blockbuster is where I got my collection of serial killer movies.
It is. And then you traded them in at my GameStop and the people got really, really weirded out.
Yeah. They were like, buy one, get two. Start an obsession.
On that particular genre of movies?
No, just movies, period.
Right,
So I guess I did make a choice.
Yeah, you did make a choice. It wasn't like, buy one, get two, so long as all of them have titles like Dahmer and Gacy
and
Bundy.
Buy Dahmer, Gacy and Gein.
Were those all made by the same...
two Gs.
were those movies all made by the same production company?
The cover art was very similar.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there was a period in the late 90s where it was lucrative to make biopics aggrandizing these serial killers.
No, I mean, like, if you have some money to make a film and you don't know what the film is, a biopic's the way to go.
Hey, remember this person who lived?
In general, you should pick somebody who either history has forgotten. You see, Lincoln, like, that's perfect.
History, nobody knew who Lincoln was until that movie came out.
But I'm just telling you, nobody knew. Again, the people have said Daniel Day-Lewis's voice in that movie is all weird, but nobody knows what he sounds like. You pick somebody who either A, has very limited exposure, or B, has either a forgotten or no exposure, like of who they were, other than the maybes of what they did. Like, that's the biopic to do. Don't have Lindsay Lohan try to play, I don't know.
Marilyn Monroe.
Ginger from Gilligan's Island. Because everybody's going to be comparing her to the real Ginger.
I'm trying to decide if Gilligan's Island was like the reason why I had why I had a fascination with survivalist fiction. And by survivalist fiction, I'm speaking of like books like Hatchet. And My Side of the Mountain, when I was a young pup, and I can't help but think of people have always made all these jokes about they should have just eaten Gilligan, something like that. He caused all the problems. I would like to see a gritty reboot of Gilligan's Island. And the only reason I say that is because I was cleaning the house the other day, and I thought back to the time in sixth grade where my teacher recommended I read the book Alive.
In sixth grade.
Do you know what Alive is?
That is where people eat each other because their plane crashed on the wrong mountain.
Yes. Their plane crashed on the mountain that didn't have all of the nacho platters.
Formerly named Foodless Mountain.
Until people arrived, and then it was, boy.
And then it was, got any sauce?
and I read like halfway through it and it got too real and it was like, huh, maybe I should not be reading this.
Why couldn't we have landed on Cat Mountain?
Why couldn't we have? Well, they were like a Peruvian football team. And you know, you can't just
how does Peruvian football differ from American football?
Right now, most of them are amputees because they had to eat limbs to survive.
Did they really?
I don't know. Like, so here's the thing.
Talk about self-preservation.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't understand why in those situations, and you know, this stuff does happen. It's probably not as common as you would think.
Oh, but it happens.
It happens. But like, why do you have to kill the person and eat the whole thing? Okay. If it comes down to a considered decision, and you're probably going to die from, you know, die from the amputation anyway, but it's kind of like, okay, I'm a righty. You guys can eat my left arm and, you know, we'll see if that gets us over. So you draw straws, but you don't draw straws to like to see who dies. You just draw straws to, you know, figure out who's going to have a part of them taken off and eaten.
Hey, listen, and I don't mean to cut you off, and you're more than welcome to continue. I'm going to end the argument now by saying, hey, a brother like that, you don't eat all at once.
There we go.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So there are things that you do when you listen to this podcast. You can like us, rate us, review us on iTunes, subscribe to us there. That is very helpful, and we enjoy seeing those and reading those. You can like us on Facebook and suggest stories as you do. In general, you can also go to the tip jar, the duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where when you buy things on Amazon, we get a kickback, and that helps support the hosting of the shows, the websites, all of that. It makes this a break-even venture, which is pretty cool. So you can show your support and love in those ways. And, of course, tell friends. Chris, did I miss anything?
I think you got it.
Good night.
Bye.